Welcome to the Newsbusters podcast with your host, executive editor of Newsbusters, Tim Graham.
Hello and welcome to the apparently never-ending Trump presidency. Yes, it's the Newsbusters podcast. Tim Graham here with you. I was watching the Today Show. We were getting ready to depart 8 a.m. this morning, the Today Show. This is the sort of announcement you got from Hoda Kotb.
Coming up in contempt.
The yeas are 222 and the nays are 208.
The House holding Mark Meadows accountable for refusing to testify before the January 6th committee. Trump's former chief of staff now facing possible criminal charges after that historic vote. As Fox News hosts react to their text messages during the insurrection, urging the White House to stop the violence.
Just listen to the word music there. Holding him accountable. Criminal charges. Historic vote. Then they turned to reporter Garrett Hake, who said, "Good morning. That House vote, largely along party lines, was a historic rebuke of Donald Trump's last chief of staff." They use this word, historic. That's their way of saying, this is the narrative we want. And it's not just our choice, it's history's choice. The Democrats made history. They're always making history. Usually it's when they nominate like the Eskimo American transgender swimmer to the Presidential White House Exercise Committee. I don't know, but they put historic around things that they're just saying, we like this. We think this is important or should be important. And I have sort of wandered the hallways here and said, one of these days I'm going to do a nexus search for the use of the term historic. History making and sort of relatives of that, which is like the landmark congressional bill or the landmark law, the landmark ruling of the Supreme Court. These are the adjectives they use. And you know they're not going to say the historic Reagan tax cuts. This is an adjective they use for stuff they like. Obamacare is history. And the Reagan tax cuts are not, you know, tear down this wall, not really history somehow. So when you make contempt of Congress charges history, then we would say to you, well, wait a minute. When the House is in Republican hands and we change the official being held accountable, is it historic anymore or is it meh? We take you back to June 28, 2012. The Republican majority House held then Attorney General Eric Holder in contempt of Congress. The matter was the Fast and Furious scandal, and that was how somehow the Obama administration let guns sort of walk across the border so they could be used in killing our border cops. This was one of the scandals that, as we all know, the networks say, well, there were no Obama scandals. Jedi mind wave. There were no Obama scandals. What are you talking about? So on the night of June 28, 2012, only NBC offered a full report of 2 minutes. CBS and ABC limited themselves to brief anchor read items, 30 and 35 seconds. The morning before they held him in contempt, the three morning shows gave a combined 91 seconds of coverage. So what they're basically saying to you is, oh, this happened today. Eh. They mentioned it, but they're not running around with all the adjectives. And it's historically holding Holder accountable. It's not going to happen. So back in 2017, Rich Noyes reported that in less than 2 days, ABC, CBS, and NBC devoted nearly seven times as much coverage to Jeff Sessions, the attorney general, back when he met with the Russian ambassador in his role as a U.S. senator. 72 minutes. 7 times as much coverage than they gave to Holder in 2012. Holder got a little over 10 minutes. This was 72 minutes. They were obsessed then at Jeff Sessions met with the Russian ambassador as a senator, and that somehow was, of course, historic. Now, I don't know if they used the word historic, but they certainly made a big deal out of it. So this is the trend right now, and I suppose we're going to get this all the way up through the anniversary of January 6th. This is the top story. Whatever the January 6th committee does is a top story. And notice, yeah, the way that they do this, the House is holding Meadows accountable. Like it's nonpartisan. Now, you heard Garrett Hake say, as I mentioned, a vote along party lines. Yes, that's what's going on. This is a very partisan exercise. This is the Democrat House holding a Republican chief of staff in contempt, Mark Meadows, who had been cooperating with the committee and then decided not to cooperate. I don't know why he stopped cooperating. Maybe they could spend some minutes on that. But they want to obsess over this committee, and they don't really want to remind anybody what a Democrat crock this committee is. That the Speaker of the House said to the Republicans, you're not allowed to name members of this committee. I'm going to name the Democrats on this committee, and then I'm going to name the fake Republicans on this committee who agree with me on everything. And that would be Liz Cheney and Adam Kinzinger. One of them will not be in the Congress next year. One of them will be lucky to be in the Congress next year. But they're the, you know, they're the Republican, the fake Republicans here. And that's not they're a fake Republican on everything, but they're absolutely a fake Republican on this issue of January 6th. Because part of this is, it's not just about denying that January 6th was important. It was important. It was disgusting. But the Democrats, obviously, they think this is their secret key to winning in 2022. This is a very partisan exercise. This is all about gaining political advantage. They spent a bunch of 2021 trying to say that all the Republicans were Jim Crow segregationists because they thought that would work. Didn't end up working in Virginia. Terry McAuliffe was like, Trump, 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 Trump. And Terry McAuliffe lost. I mean, they're still following that formula. January 6th, January 6th, January 6th, January 6th, January 6th, January 6th. And, you know, so last night on Twitter, I was actually looking at these shows in our SnapStream system, and I was tweeting out some of the results. I was like, it was about 10:30 Eastern time. I said, so far tonight, Larry O'Donnell's show is all Trump's taxes and January 6th. Who's president now? Seriously. Lawrence O'Donnell doesn't seem to recognize that Biden's the president of the United States. Oh, well, later in the show, when you get to like 10:45, we'll do the 9th anniversary of the Sandy Hook shooting with Senator Murphy of Connecticut. Isn't there anything Biden's doing? And then I turned over to CNN. Not to be outdone by MSNBC. This is at 10:35-ish. Don Lemon's show is 100% 16NN tonight. CNN is 16NN. I mean, they are obsessed. And see, this is the funny thing, is you can think that January 6th was disgusting without saying that it needs to be the 24/7 news story on December 26th or whatever. We're in December of 2021. There's 800,000 people dead of COVID. That's not Biden's fault. That's a side story now. 16, 16, 16. So then just for fairness and balance, I said, Fox's Ingram Engel is actually covering the current president and his excuse making, like on inflation. But Laura also devoted some time talking back to the liberal media about how they were covering the texts that Fox News personality sent to Mark Meadows, insisting that he have Trump say something to get the riot curtailed. That's a nice thing for Fox personalities to text. Could you please tell the president to call off these rioters? They should get credit for that. Donald Trump Jr. trying to get Meadows to tell his dad, you need to do something about the rioters. That should get you credit. However, I think you can certainly say, as a punctilious media critic, you don't really want journalists, if that's what you see yourself as, you don't text the White House and tell them what their strategy should be. And so CNN thinks this is very offensive. And then we ask ourselves, do we really think that if we got the texts that Lawrence O'Donnell is sending to Biden or whatever, or to Ron Klain, do we think that there's nobody at CNN or MSNBC who's texting Biden's chief of staff, Ron Klain, or DMing him on Twitter? Do you think that that's not happening right now? But as usual, this is what these people do, is they pretend that this only happens on the conservative side of things. Oh, we don't communicate like that on the Democrat side. I mean, we all remember Obama having these people into the White House, Maddow and Ed Schultz and so on and so forth. They had them into the White House so they could all discuss together what the talking points were going to be. We just had this whole scenario where the White House was telling the networks what to say about the economy, but they're going to be upset that Hannity and Laura Ingraham sent texts, Brian Kilmeade sent texts to Mark Meadows. I mean, CNN was obsessed yesterday, hour on the hour, over Fox News. And they're sending these texts. First, Brian Stelter was like, Fox isn't talking about them. And then they did yesterday. Sandra Smith did. Harris Faulkner did. Brett Baier did. Hannity did. Ingraham did. And so on. Then Stelter had to go and put out his little newsletter and say, it took them a day to put together their talking points. Come on. I mean, that's just hilarious. Sister told ya, took the words out of our mouths on Twitter. She said, took CNN much longer to muster up a quote-unquote real response to the Chris Cuomo scandals. And we're still waiting on a response to the alleged child sexual assault one involving his former senior producer. Now, in his little newsletter, in his Reliably Liberal, Reliable Sources newsletter, Stelter had a one-paragraph item on, oh, by the way, we had a producer as a perv. It was like 12 headlines down. One little paragraph. So you can't say they omitted it, but they're not exactly talking about it. Isn't it kind of funny? I mean, this is where I say to myself, all right, which crime is worse? You know, parading around in a stupid hat on January 6th or sexually abusing 7 or 8 or 9 year old girls. Why don't you spend some time on that, CNN? Yeah, so Kyle Drennan said to me this morning, we were talking about all this and how much January 6th they do. And he was like, yeah, it's kind of weird for CNN to be obsessing about texts to Mark Meadows, when Don Lemon was sending texts to his buddy Jussie Smollett, tipping him off about the cops. These are the people that didn't want to talk about Chris Cuomo incessantly sending emails to his brother's staff telling them what to do. CNN is so shameless. They say all kinds of crazy stuff and accusing other people of doing exactly what they're doing. You know, it's like that old ad, you know, where'd you learn to smoke weed? I learned it from you, Dad! Then we get to Curtis Howe had tweeted what Joy Reid last night on her show, The Freak Out. I mean, The Readout. Curtis said, Joy Reid falsely claims Fox News has never talked about the Meadows texts. Well, see, this is... Joy's on at 7 p.m. She's already been proven wrong how many times already? I mean, does she tape that show at 10 in the morning? I don't think so. Joy Reid falsely claims Fox News has never talked about the Meadows texts and then says, conservatives and Republicans, quote unquote, only watch Fox. Mostly true. And they don't go outside of their bubble, so they're never going to look over here on MSNBC.
And here's the problem. They can't ignore it because their people only watch Fox. They don't go outside of the bubble. They're never going to look over here. They're only going to watch that, and they will come out of this really dramatic day when the former chief of staff to the president of the United States goes down the Haldeman route and they won't even know about it.
And that's where it's really funny, because I was like, Curtis Houck watches your show every night. He's a conservative Republican. Curtis Houck, like, tweets out all your craziness. Some of us don't live outside the bubble. Some of us report from outside the bubble and report to people who are accused of being inside the bubble. Our whole formula at Newsbusters is we watch all this garbage so you don't have to. Just come get the lowlights at Newsbusters. You don't have to sit and watch Joy Reid. Who does that? Not very many regular Americans do that. And then, of course, speaking of January 6th, PolitiFact, that liberal, that reliably liberal so-called independent fact-checking website, has come out with their lie of the year. They tweeted, by the evening of January 6th, democracy was still standing, but the manipulation of the narrative was already underway. PolitiFact's 2021 lie of the year, lies about the January 6th Capitol attack and its significance. Yes, we find it funny when PolitiFact starts complaining about manipulation of the narrative. This is exactly what they do. This is what fact-checking is in the liberal media. It's all about manipulating the narrative. It's all about getting uncomfortable truths about Biden shut down in social media. Can't have that. Hunter Biden? No. Well, what did you say we lied about? You can't talk about him at all. You say Hunter Biden laptop banned. I mean, it's just... Hunter Biden now gave an interview to Vanity Fair where he said, I'm not making paintings for the money just because... somebody's trying to sell them for $300,000 doesn't mean I'm trying to make money. I mean, they're not covering that. January 6th. So, obviously, it's one thing to say that trying to say that January 6th wasn't a riot would be a lie. But to say, oh, you underplayed its significance. Well, yeah, you can't. Apparently, to PolitiFact and Stelter and all of this whole flock of liberals, you can't possibly overplay it. Underplay it? Well, yeah, people are trying to say, look, Matthew Dowd said on television that January 6th was worse than 9/11. That's a lie of the year. I don't think that made PolitiFact. Probably didn't, because they're a bunch of liberals. I mean, let's look at this. I tried to hunt this down. Recent lie of the year verdicts at PolitiFact over the last few years. 2015, Trump. 2016, fake news, mostly caused by Trump. 2017, Russia hoax, Trump. Trump's the only one that thinks there's a hoax about Russia. 2018, well, we're going to go a little outside the box. Lie of the year was saying anything derogatory about the Parkland kids. Saying that the Parkland shooting was somehow a stunt that's terrible. Let's not be Alex Jones. But, you know, they obviously, PolitiFact is at the Poynter Institute. They're based in Tampa, so they're going to have extra feels for the mass shooting in Florida as opposed to in other states. 2019. Lie of the year, Trump, about the Ukraine whistleblower. 2020, downplaying COVID. Who did that? Trump. 2021, downplaying COVID? No, it's okay now. 2021, January 6th and the big lie of Trump. Are you getting the theme here in this pudding? I mean, this is... it's one thing to say, hey, let's separate lies from truth. But PolitiFact is, they're PolitiFlax. And they're PolitiNarratives. I mean, they're all about shaping narratives and saying you can't underplay something significant and something is half true because we don't like the way true sounds. We'll remind you, just a few more days to Christmas, it's still there at BozellBook.com. You can get Brent Bozell's collection of childhood stories. It's called Stops Along the Way. Not Jingle All the Way. Maybe when Brent's beard turns all white, he can do Jingle All the Way. Column today or yesterday was about softball season on the networks. We've been talking about this here at Newsbusters. Friday night, Jimmy Fallon had President Biden on for 16 and a half minutes, and what would you expect? It's Jimmy Fallon. Jimmy Fallon doesn't do hardball interviews with anyone, but you'll remember that Jimmy Fallon mussed Trump's hair once, and they all treated that like Jimmy Fallon held a party for Hitler. I mean, Jimmy Fallon was, got the self-pity coming out of Jimmy Fallon after all the abuse he got from mussing Trump's hair, because the question was, is it really his or is it a rug? Can't do that. That makes Trump look good. Therefore, you're a war criminal. So Jimmy Fallon has Biden on for 16 minutes and basically says, tell us about all the wonderful things in Build Back Better, Mr. President. You're bringing class back. You're a class act. You're a classy guy. It's just like Jimmy Fallon with Barack and Michelle. I mean, you can say Jimmy Fallon does that for everyone, but it's mostly not for, it's not for Republicans. You can't have a smoochy interview with a Republican. But Jimmy Fallon was there. So then 2 days later, the Bidens, Jill and Joe, were on with CBS reporter Rita Braver on Sunday morning. Now, let's always remember, Rita Braver is a walking, talking conflict of interest. Rita Braver's husband, for many, many years now, has prepared Democrat presidential contenders for their debates. He does the stand-in for the Republican opponent. So Rita Braver is perennially ethically compromised, and why they would let Rita Braver interview any president or any presidential candidate, that should just be off limits. I mean, it's not quite Chris Cuomo interviews Andrew Cuomo, but she's compromised. But this is very much in the same vein as we used to get from Martha Teichner, who would interview Hillary Clinton, and it would be two college girls giggling about everything because they went to college together. It's just CBS Sunday morning. Put on your slippers and get cozy, because we're awfully cozy with the Bidens here on Sunday morning. We're going to play our little trumpet. Jane Pauley, who was the original suck-up to Hillary Clinton, now introduces the latest suck-up with the Bidens. And so this is what happens. And then over on Sunday Today, that's where Hillary Clinton was. Hillary Clinton was on with Willie Geist. They did 12 minutes of softball questions. Oh, poor Hillary. How does it hurt? You know, she's doing a masterclass with masterclass.com on resilience. And how much money are you making? Oh, no. He's not going to ask that. We don't ask Hillary about her ka-chings. When her books come out, we do big sappy interviews and we don't ask how much money she's making that we're helping her make. These people, when they do memoirs, you know part of the book deal is, well, we're going to give you $20 million because we know you're going to go all over the networks and they're all going to kiss your butt. So, Willie Tushy Geist usually throws softballs at, you know, singers and actresses. In this case, it's a former First Lady of the United States, two-time presidential loser. She's still bitter. He says, how did you read and then deal with the criticism that you've received, which includes people calling for you to be locked up? Yeah. Isn't that an easy one? Hillary, what I learned was to take criticism seriously, but not personally. She takes everything personally. Are you kidding me? She's got like the thinnest skin in the United States of America. Okay, maybe Trump's a contender, but they match. Hillary says, you mentioned lock her up. What an absurd and in many ways dangerous attack, because we're supposed to live in a society governed by the rule of law. And those people chanting that had no idea what they were talking about. Yeah, and Geist wasn't going to explain it. Geist was not going to come in and say, well, Hillary used a private email server while she was Secretary of State, which is one thing. Then she sent classified information on it, which has caused some public servants to serve time in jail. People who aren't named Clinton went to jail for sending classified information on an email. That's what lock her up was about. We all understand. See, this is what Willie Geist is not going to explain to anybody. Hillary Clinton's never going to be sent to jail for anything because she's Hillary Clinton. Hillary Clinton was never going to be indicted by Kenneth Starr because she's Hillary Clinton. She was perennially running for office, so to indict her would be to ruin her political career, which would be seen as political. You know, we know Dan Rather would always come on and say, Republican Independent Counsel Kenneth Starr. He was constantly saying he was a party hack. But when Nancy Pelosi has a party hack committee on 1-6, history! History has been made! And then there was more. I mean, obviously, he was still doing this question about how, oh, how do you feel? How much pain do you have? And then Hillary says...
And sadly, the Republican Party has gone along with him. Honestly, they have hung their spines up on the wall as they walk into their offices. They have no conscience. They have no spine. And we are seeing the results of a party that has been taken over by a demagogue.
So just conservatives can say, honestly, it's the network news people have hung their spines up on the wall. I mean, they talk this big game about how, especially when they're really rough on people under Trump or with Republicans in general, we hold people accountable. That's our job. It's our job to be tough. And then the Democrats are in power and it's somehow their job just to kiss rings. How do you feel? Do you feel sad? Do you feel guilty sometimes? Do you feel like I'm not possibly being suck-uppy enough? And then, of course, there's this other thing that really bothers me is that they're like, Hillary, do you ever think there'd be a woman president? And the piano music starts. Now, you know, this is one thing when you play the piano under your interview with Ben Affleck or Meghan Trainor or something. This is supposed to be a hard news interview, isn't it? No, it's supposed to be a Lifetime movie of the week starring Hillary Clinton, and Willie Geist is like the, you know, the charming male who helps the old lady across the street, media-wise. This is what we get when Democrats are president, or when Democrats lost the presidency to Trump. I mean, we just get Democrats all sitting around with other Democrats sounding like Democrats, and then Joy Reid accuses us of living in a bubble. That's really something special. But you can come here to keep track of the soft balls and the hard balls. It's what we do at Newsbusters. Come here once, twice, 24 times a day. Merry Christmas.